Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program presented today by Fouch AgriService in downtown Grand Junction. This is Coltrane Carlson, and our guest today, with it being 1 week out from the official start of the Iowa legislative session for 2023, is our Senator Jesse Greenow joining us. So thank you very much, sir, for coming on.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Good to be with you.
So, Senator Green, having been one of the few people in the state not having to run for election back in this last November, I understand that the Republican Party was able to pick up a few more senators, I believe, making you like a supermajority on your side of the chamber. Can you kind of give us your comments of that? And, you know, having to watch from the peanut gallery, more or less, and not really having to be yourself involved in that process.
It's certainly an exciting time in Iowa. The last time that we saw this large of a trifecta or this large of a majority was 1972. Just kind of ironic that it's exactly 50 years ago that we saw this many senators and this many House representatives, so with a Republican governor as well. And so I was very pleased with the election results. The big thing in the Senate with a supermajority that you get with that is when it comes to a governor appointee positions. And before, we would have to get Democrat support for some of these governor appointee positions. And now we can get these appointees through if we as a caucus agree to it. So that's the big thing with the supermajority. But, you know, you'll hear me say this anywhere I go, and it's just this expression of gratitude that's just every day that I wake up and I look back at the last couple of years at what we've been able to accomplish and pass, and I couldn't pick a better time to serve in Iowa than now. It was just a few weeks ago I was able to attend the Second Amendment to the state constitution for Second Amendment language, and to be there in the Secretary of State's office and to be a part of that historical moment, it's just a very similar experience that I've had so many other times the last 2 years, and it just keeps on coming. I'm so grateful for that.
Can you tell us a little bit about what happened last legislative session, specifically about bills or legislation that you were maybe disappointed didn't actually get through, but maybe hopeful going in the next legislative session to see that across the finish line?
You know, one thing that the Senate passed out that stalled in the House was we passed a constitutional amendment that would require a two-thirds vote to raise taxes, and many states have this. It's really easy for government to spend money, and we've done so much work when it comes to taxes that I felt that was a very important piece to kind of protect Iowan taxpayers going forward into the future. And so I would assume that we'll be passing that out of the Senate again, see what the House does with it. You know, you saw some conversation about eminent domain last year that didn't cross the finish line, and I think that has definitely gotten ramped up. It will be interesting how this plays out because Summit Solutions and the Navigator pipelines, which there's two pipelines that go through this Senate district. So I probably received just as many, if not more, calls than other legislators. But there's a lot of people that are voluntarily signing up for this project, which is by design how we want it to be. But I think you're seeing this tone that keeps coming up that we would desire to have a threshold level that has to be met before eminent domain can be considered. So by that, I mean, hypothetically, maybe if we had in the law two-thirds of the land that is being considered for eminent domain, if two-thirds of it was voluntarily signed up, it's at that time that the eminent domain can possibly be considered. And I think that's a common tone that you're starting to hear. Farm Bureau came out with their opinion that it should be a 90% threshold, and I am grateful that they were bold coming out publicly what their opinion is. So I hope that conversation goes forward this next session, and I think it will. And, of course, the big topic that didn't pass last year that has been front and center is school choice. You know, the governor last year, there's a lot of people who are disappointed that the House couldn't pass any school choice bill out. And so she got involved in some primaries, and it was reflected what the will of the base and the party and the state is. And basically every race that she got involved in, she pretty much won. So I think that was kind of a mandate for her to push forward boldly with her vision for more choice and empowering parents in their education. And so it'll be really exciting to see how that plays out this session. You see that the House came up with a new committee called the Education Reform Committee. Speaker Grassley, I have seen publicly talk about some of the different stuff that he would like to deal with within that committee. And I think at the end of the day, you're going to see some big wins for everybody at the table, whether that's private schools, homeschools, public schools. I've been hearing about public schools wanting more flexibility for their dollars and how they spend their dollars. They've been talking about that for years and years and years. And I think you're starting to see some movement on that issue that might come out this year that would allow just that. So And of course, property tax reform. We haven't touched that the last couple years because we were dealing with sales tax and tax credits and income tax issues. But you went door knocking across the state. It didn't matter what part of the state you were in. People's number one concern, I believe, was property taxes. And we ranked 40th in the nation with property taxes. That's just unacceptable. And I think the people are demanding some sort of reform with that.
It's a good thing you brought up the student voucher bill because, yeah, you all, I think, if memory serves, you passed an ominous education bill that went over to the House Education Committee, stalled there. You passed just a single, maybe one or two different things that concerted that effort back over to the House, and the House still stalled it. If my understanding is correct, some of those representatives that were serving as the Republican Party in the House Education Committee came from communities that maybe were more rural, didn't really necessarily have private institutions within their district. And because of redistricting now, and because of what you had alluded to with the governor kind of playing a role in the primary and maybe switching out some of those individuals, are you starting to see maybe the stars more aligned that you could possibly see this getting through this year, unlike what happened this last year?
Yeah, you know, I tend to be an optimist anyway, but I don't see any better situation than what we have right now to pass this out. Due to redistricting, it is just ironic that some of the members that were slightly opposed to school choice got lumped in with other legislators that maybe were for school choice, and so they calculated that they thought the best interest for themselves was to retire, and then sometimes then you saw some organic primaries that popped up with new candidates that were passionate about this issue, and they ended up winning. I could be off a few votes on this, but it seemed like that we were about 15 votes shy of passing school choice last year in the House. And I think between the retirements and the primaries, the talk is over in the House that they should have the support. So it was really interesting, the dynamic last year between rural and urban legislators on that issue. Rural legislators were concerned about, could this end up closing some of the rural school districts or hurting some of the rural school districts? Well, the governor developed a plan where any leftover savings that took place because a parent and a child chose to go to a private school, there would be roughly about $2,000 that would be saved whenever something like that happened. She designed it in such a way where that $2,000 would go into a pool for rural and small school districts. That should have made those rural legislators happy, but it didn't. And then, of course, the urban legislators were like, well, wait a second, this $2,000, if it's not going to stay with the home school district, I have a problem with this, because mathematically, we all know that probably most of the school choice vouchers or scholarships would be used in Des Moines or some of these more urban areas. And so what ended up happening is, I think legislators on both sides of the issue, whether you're rural or urban, ended up being scared about the deal and just ended up not supporting it. So, but like I said, I think this session, the stars have aligned, and I don't see any problem getting this bill passed out.
And that's our guest for today's Let's Talk Green County program. Here with our state senator is Jesse Green, joining us once again for part one of our two-part series. Let's Talk Green County is brought to you today by Fauch AgriService in downtown Grand Junction, your channel seedsman. We'll be right back with more here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.